other. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, presented on Relevant Radio by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor, solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, we haven't had quite as much rain in the past week.
No, but I mean, I guess it's supposed to rain all weekend.
There's more on the way.
That's okay. It's feeding our beautiful green land, right? Like some bonus to it or something.
It's very
Someone's
green.
Someone's thirsty.
It's very green. It's beautiful.
It is beautiful in the summertime, and we've had a lot of beautiful days in the last couple weeks, so
we
I'm
really
grateful
have.
For that. And let's see, coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, we'll have a dynamic discussion with Curtis Martin, president and founder of FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, one of the fastest growing movements in the Catholic Church today.
And find out about the gift that is natural family planning. We'll talk with Archdiocesan NFP Coordinator about efforts to raise awareness about healthy marriage-building resources for couples.
Plus, local Catholics share who's been the biggest prayer influence in their life.
But first, we're joined this morning by Dave Hrabacek from the Catholic Spirit to talk about a subject many of us struggle with accepting, silence. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Good morning. Good morning.
We don't want you to be silent for 7 minutes now.
Oh, well, that would be a very boring conversation, wouldn't it?
It would be awkward. tell us about this gentleman you interviewed.
Yes, his name is Joel Kibler, and he's been in the Twin Cities for a while. He is the local leader of the People of Praise Christian lay community, and he gives retreats and talks on prayer. And he focuses a lot on silence, and in fact, he gives silent retreats, and the Rediscover feature that I did with him was a question and answer format, and he talked about the role of silence in our spiritual lives.
Silence is, well, it's awkward even when we intend it to happen, isn't it?
Yeah, because, you know, there's so much noise and busyness in the world. You know, you got cell phones, iPads, and just stuff all around you all the time.
We're accustomed to that nonstop.
Nonstop, yes. And that really is the challenge that we face, is there's just noise everywhere you go. And you have to be deliberate about getting away and turning all the stuff off and entering into silence.
Well, so what's the value of silence then?
Well, Joel says it's crucial to prayer because what prayer ultimately is friendship with God. And he says, you can't have friendship with God without going off to be with Him in silence. And so it's very, very important. It's at the heart of our prayer life.
The Lord did tell us to go off to a quiet place.
Yeah, in fact, one of the scriptures he points to in this article is Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. When you pray, go into your own room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is there in secret. And that's what we need to do. Jesus laid out the blueprint. It's not difficult. It's not rocket science. It's just something we have to deliberately do.
Well, and to be able to listen to him too, I need silence. I mean, a lot of my prayer is talking to him, but also I think is listening to what he has to say to you. And in order to do that, for me, I need silence. I can't have distractions to hear what he's saying.
Well, Corey, that's an important point because Joel makes a deliberate point to talk about this friendship with God being two-way.
Right.
We talk to him, and then we listen to him, and mm-hmm. what does he want to say to us? And it seems like God just doesn't, you know, use loudspeakers.
Yell at you, no.
You know,
you have to really try to hear what he's saying.
Right.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's very hard. But one of the interesting points Joel makes at the end that I think explains this, he says, you know, God is actually meek and humble. He doesn't push his way into our lives. He doesn't try to draw attention to himself. And so we have to approach him quietly and in the silence, and more than anything, give him time to speak to us.
We have a tendency, I think, in prayer sit down with a list and say, Lord, I want this, I want this. It's almost like sitting on Santa Claus's lap for some people.
Help me with this, 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 and this.
And that's certainly natural and realistic. You know, we need God. We need Him to do things for us, and God understands that. But I think He wants a relationship. I mean, Corey, I think it would be very natural for you to say, well, I want to spend time with my husband. I don't want him to always do things for me. I just want to be with him, right?
That's very true, yes.
Take a walk.
It's hard to get that time these days.
It is, but I think you and your husband have probably had to work at finding time to get away.
Yeah.
And what do? You get away from the kids. You get away from the house so that the distractions aren't there. Well, it's the same thing with God.
Sure.
But in our relationship with God, we really should do it every day, if at all possible, or at least most every day.
So tell us a little bit about the people of praise.
Well, it basically started on the campus of Notre Dame back in the 1960s, and it grew out of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. And so Joel actually went to Notre Dame, and he joined the Charismatic Renewal, and then they decided, a small group decided God was calling them to something more, and so they formed this community, and they've since developed branches in other parts of the country and in other countries. And they do have a local branch here in the Twin Cities, and he's the leader. They call him the principal branch coordinator, and so he's kind of in charge here. There are several hundred people here, and then they have, of course, a branch in South Bend and other branches. They have one in Canada, Saskatoon, which I've visited, and they have one on the West Coast in
I'll bet you got some hunting in while you were up there in Saskatoon.
Oh, boy, do I wish that were true, Paul, because I saw signs for moose and deer all along the way, and some of the people that I met there were avid hunters, and I'm like, oh, I want to come back in November.
Teasing you.
Chase those big whitetails they have.
Okay, let me backtrack just a touch. For a lot of us who are relatively recent converts, the term Catholic Charismatic Renewal might be kind of a new one.
To me, yeah, a little bit foreign.
Well, yeah, the Catholic Charismatic Renewal has been around for a while. It was probably much more prevalent, or shall I say visible, in the 1970s. And one of the distinguishing components of it is what they call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's basically comes right out of the New Testament Acts of the Apostles, where people lay hands on you and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, and you receive spiritual gifts, including the gift of tongues, and then you simply use those gifts and invite others to that same experience.
Okay.
So this is kind of where the People of Praise got started, the Brotherhood of the People of Praise.
Correct, yes. And along the way, there were several men that decided they wanted to live celibate for God, but not necessarily a religious vocation, although there are priests in the Brotherhood, and in fact, one member of the Brotherhood is now a bishop in the Diocese of Portland, Bishop Peter Smith, and he was just ordained back in April. So we think that this is going to happen more, and we feel that this is going to be also a benefit to the church, because many of us are devout Catholics and very active in our church. We have, as I said, priests and one bishop. We also have deacons. And we feel that being a part of the Charismatic Renewal ultimately helps us be better Catholics, because we're living our life in Christ. We are, you know, trying to serve God, and we feel God has called us to be in the church and, in cases like mine, work for the church, and hopefully help renew the church. And, you know, God is very active right now in the church and all over, and so we're just trying to be part of that and play our small role in the larger kingdom of God.
Now, you have a full feature article about your interview with Joel Keebler and the Brotherhood of the People of Praise and the concept of silence. Is that in the issue of the Catholic Spirit that just came out?
Yes. As you know, we have the Center Rediscover section, 4-page, and I get the two middle pages for the feature part of it, and so we have not only the Q&A interview with Joel, but he recommends a couple of books to learn more about silence and help practice it in your lives. And I've read one of those books, and my wife just pulled the other one off the shelf and said, hey, I got this one too, so I'm going to be starting that second book real soon.
So that's in the June 19th issue of The Catholic Spirit?
Yes, it is.
That's,
yep.
That's it. Dave Hrabacek, always fun to visit with you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
You're so welcome.
Latest issue of The Catholic Spirit came out June 19th. You can find The Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
And coming up on the Rediscover Hour, we'll find out about efforts to raise awareness about the many benefits of natural family planning.
Plus, we'll talk with a man who founded one of the fastest-growing movements in the church today. Hear what Curtis Martin says about reaching out to college-age Catholics in today's Answering the Call. We'll be right back.
Rediscover.
Hi, this is Paul Archambault, owner of Stinson Electric, and we are the proud sponsor of the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a Catholic, family-owned company that serves the electrical construction and repair needs of local businesses, churches, and schools. Our faith and our motto of quality, integrity, and service guides our business decisions every day. For small projects, troubleshooting a circuit, or installing an outlet or light fixtures, we have a fleet of service trucks that are staffed by licensed electricians who are knowledgeable, courteous, and efficient. They have the latest technology to diagnose and repair your electrical problem. For larger projects such as new building, building additions, or relocating equipment, we'll help you design, budget, and build the project. Stinson Electric would like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I would welcome the opportunity to meet with you and discuss your electrical need. Call Stinson Electric,
612-424-7382. Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek. Modern natural family planning, NFP, is a healthy, reliable, and marriage-building tool.
But I think many people are not aware of all the benefits of natural family planning, commonly referred to as NFP. And that's why the Archdiocese Office of Marriage, Family, and Life is sharing the word about the blessings of this method during NFP Awareness Week coming up on July 20th through the 26th. And Nancy Schulte-Polacek, NFP facilitator for the Archdiocese, joins us today with a preview. Hi, Nancy. How are you?
Good morning, Corey. Great. How are you today?
We're good. Now, tell us a little bit about what you do as facilitator of the Natural Family Planning Family and Lady Outreach for Archdiocese?
Yes. Yeah, I have
That's a long title.
Exactly. A long, large title, which encompasses a lot.
With a lot of family in there.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. That's what the Marriage Family Life Office does.
Yeah.
So NFP facilitator, I facilitate all the class schedules from our four providers here located in the Archdiocese. We have Billings Ovulation Method, the Couple-to-Couple League, Family of the Americas, and Twin Cities Fertility Care, which is the Creighton model method. So I facilitate all their schedules. There's about 90 teachers that teach classes this year.
Awesome.
So it's wonderful. So I, you know, coordinate their classes, get those out to the public so people know where they can learn about it. And then I also coordinate in conjunction with the USCCB, the NFP Awareness Week.
And that's coming up.
Exactly. Exactly. And then my Laity Outreach just really encompasses, you know, all the family from age zero to adult, you know, drawing them closer to our faith and the virtues.
Well, tell us a little bit about this Awareness Week coming up in coordination with the USCCB.
Yeah, so the USCCB started this educational campaign back around 2002, so it's been around for a while, and it was really, it's growing so much more because the bishops are so worried about the strength of the family and with the issues of cohabitation that may or may not lead to marriage. The divorce rate and the redefinition of marriages in some states, particularly ours. So it's a great week to just bring about the awareness, and it also highlights the anniversary of the papal encyclical Humanae Vitae on July 25th.
That was a major milestone, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you mentioned a number of different names at the top, different
methods,
natural family planning methods, the Creighton method, the Billings method. What's the difference?
What's the difference? Okay, well, the couple league is called, they are symptothermal method.
And that's the
basal body temperature, and of course checking the signs, the symptoms, the mucus. And then the other ones are all ovulation, which is just kind of mucus-based, you know, checking, looking at those signs of fertility and documenting them and really understanding when your time of fertility is and when it's not.
And so what are some of the common myths about NFP that maybe are barriers to couples choosing them? Like it's not reliable, maybe irregular cycles, you know, I've heard women talk about that, like...
Right. You know, the biggest thing I think is that people say, I don't want to use it because it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's 99% effective. So it's kind of contrary to what people believe. People tend to have large families because after they begin to use NFP and feel all the marriage, qualities of it, they are open to life. And
yeah.
So that's why they increase their numbers of children. It's not because it's not effective.
Okay.
So that's kind of one myth that's out there. Another one is that some people will say, well, isn't it the same as contracepting? And it really is not. Contraceptives involve the deliberate frustration or prevention of the marriage act, where NFP doesn't. Traditionally, the Catholic Church has always taught that married couples have the right to plan their families and provide this, provided this is done in responsible and just manners, and it's done with the proper motivation. So it's not birth regulation that the Church opposes, but it's the selfishness and the immoral means of accomplishing that which contraceptives do.
Do you still run into the old myth that it's the same as the rhythm method?
Oh, yes. A lot of people will say that. It's absolutely. And really, the rhythm method kind of was instrumental in getting the NFP method. You know, we all got to start someplace. So that was kind of instrumental in bringing about NFP, and people started looking into it more and really delving into what is working and what's not.
Well, NFP can be used, of course, to postpone a birth, but what are some of the marriage-building benefits of natural family planning?
Yeah, the marriage-building benefits are, you know, just ongoing communication between the husband and wife, creative means of showing affection between those two, especially in their fertile stage if they're planning on postponing.
Right.
So that's probably the best thing. Just mutual decision making. Okay, well, we are fertile now.
You're in it together, too. Yes. It's a team effort.
Exactly. Exactly. Divorce rate among NFP users, less than 5%.
That's amazing.
It's just, yeah.
Now, say we've got a married couple. The classes, what do they entail? Or if someone just had specific questions, who could they contact?
Yeah, absolutely. They can go to our website. We always have information there. And that's www.archspm.org. And just Google search in there, or not Google search, but just do the search engine NFP. Or they can call me, and I could, you know, get them connected with a class that works for them. All four of the providers do it a little bit differently, but with the same end means.
Is it just a night?
No, everyone's different. So some providers will have like 5 mandatory classes. Some will only be 3. Some will just have an information night, like come and find out about it. And then, you know, you can go from there. So all of them are different. And how many times they meet with their teacher or their practitioner is also different. The costs are different. Some are covered by insurance and others are not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good for the, you know, to do your research on the NFP. You can, again, do that on the website or call me directly. And my number is 651-291-4489.
Now, you've got a couple of interesting events coming up. One is a novena for chastity and purity.
Yes.
Tell us how we can join in that.
Oh, we would love to have everyone join in for that. It's a beautiful novena that we are going to begin on Thursday, the 17th. Is that when I'm doing it? July 18th. It prays for just wonderful things. The clergy, the priests, the bishops, the cardinals, married couples, doctors, nurses, folks that are in the entertainment industry, and teachers, educators, just anybody who's struggling with infertility. It encompasses all these prayers on a different day, and it's just beautiful. You can find that on our website again, or the Catholic Spirit is also, they've got a Catholic hotdish.com, which is a blog site, and if you sign up there, you'll get daily notices. It will be on our like I call it a scrolling marquee on our archdiocesan website, or that, so they can find it, you know, at several different places. The blog is great because you get your notice every day.
Okay. And then tell us about the evening of Mass and reflection on NFP with Bishop Andrew Cousins.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, this is just an exciting night for me because I get to, you know, honor all those couples that have chosen to use natural family planning, or for couples who are interested. We really want to encourage people that if they are interested in this, come to the evening. We'll have a Mass with Bishop Cousins, and afterwards we'll go over to the Binns dining area for a beautiful dinner, and Bishop Cousins is going to give a reflection on NFP. The Mass starts at 6 p.m., and dinner will be following after, and then it'll conclude between 8:30 and 9. The cost is $20 per person for the dinner, for the evening, and they can RSVP online by July 18th.
Nancy Schulte-Polacek, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you for having me on.
Nancy is the facilitator of Natural Family Planning, Family and Laity Outreach for the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. You can see resources and find out about local NFP classes on the Archdiocesan website. Just go to Marriage, Family, and Life from the button on the right-hand sidebar. There you'll also find resources for Natural Family Planning Awareness Week, July 20th through the 26th, and a link to the Novena for Chastity and Purity in the World. Join others in praying this Novena beginning July 18th.
And you are invited to an evening of Mass and Reflection on Natural Family Planning with Bishop Andrew Cousins to honor local NFP providers and educators and to celebrate the gift of NFP in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. And that takes place on Thursday, July 24th at the St. Paul Seminary. The evening begins at 6 p.m. with Mass in St. Mary's Chapel, followed by dinner, dessert, and reflection at the Binns Refectory. And the cost is $20 per person. Please RSVP online by July 18th. And we've linked all of this information on our show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org and click on radio in the top navigation bar.
Who is your biggest influence when it comes to your prayer life? Your mom or dad, grandparents, good friend, your pastor?
Well, we recently asked local Catholics that question, who is your biggest influence on your prayer life and why? And here's how they responded.
Hi, I'm Kelly from St. Charles Borromeo Parish. The influence in my life has been through family and through our priests at St. Charles, who are wonderful, bring the prayer and bring the sacraments to us so well. They have greatly influenced us and greatly influenced my life itself.
Yes, I'm Jerry from Minnetonka. I go to Immaculate Heart of Mary. And I believe my parents have the most influence in my prayer life, that we prayed the daily rosary and it had a great influence on my life.
Dan from St. Mark's and St. Paul. And the person who's had the biggest impact on my prayer life is St. Francis. Just following, reading about his early life and his time away from his friends and his brothers to be with the Lord really impacted me.
Hi, I'm Carol. I go to Nativity of Mary in Bloomington. And for my spiritual life, the one that inspired me most was Bishop Dudley. And it was just, he knew my wife when she was a little girl. And so we got to be very close friends. And it was because of him that I converted from Lutheran to the Catholic faith.
My name's Joe. I live here in St. Paul, but I actually go to school at the University of Dallas, and I'm a parishioner at Nativity of Our Lord Parish in St. Paul. I guess as far as what person has had the biggest influence on my prayer life, I have to say two people. One, I guess my dad, because he prays every day, and I guess growing up, you know, ever since I was a little kid, I remember seeing him in the back room on his knees in prayer, and I think I always knew that if I wanted to be a man of God, that was something that I would have to do. And so I always thought praying every day is important, and so he's definitely been the biggest influence. But I guess more recently, as I've been sitting in prayer times and as I've been reflecting, I think, honestly, Pope Francis, as an example of, you know, the type of evangelizer and the type of man of prayer that one should be, I guess the example that he set, he's someone that always comes up when I think, when I'm praying and when I think about, you know, what a man of God should be, who a man of God should be. So I'd say he's the second biggest influence.
Okay, my name's Mark. I'm from the Cathedral Church. And the biggest influence on my prayer life, the first initial thing I'd say is that pops into my mind is my dad. But actually, both my parents have been influential in teaching me to pray. But when I think about that, it goes back to my grandparents, particularly on my dad's side, who just were faithful Catholics, and by before the end of their lives were attending Mass every day and always prayed the rosary.
Now, if you're looking for prayer resources, rediscover-faith.org is a great place to start. There you will find articles about the importance of prayer, learn the types of prayer, and even you can search for popular prayers.
Coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, we're looking forward to a discussion with Curtis Martin about bringing college Catholics back to the faith, living out the new evangelization, and getting a preview of his talk at the 2014 Rediscover Catholic Celebration.
This is Evan Beacom with a cultural note from Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. The image of Our Lady with the Child Jesus in Santa Maria Maggiore in Rome is known simply as Salus Populi Romani, the protectress of the Roman people. Legend has it that the image was painted by Luke the Evangelist on the wood of the table of the Last Supper. Whatever its origin, Pope St. Gregory the Great had it processed through Rome in the 6th century to end an outbreak of the plague. Pope St. Pius V had it processed through Rome in the 16th century to pray for victory at the decisive naval battle of Lepanto. In August, it left Santa Maria Maggiore again, this time for Pope Francis' prayer vigil for peace at St. Peter's.
Relevant Radio is proud to bring you cultural notes from the University of St. Thomas Center for Catholic Studies. For information on local Catholic Studies events, go to the Events tab at relevantradio.com.
I'm living a long, long life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Did you know that 85% of Catholic college students do not attend Sunday Mass? And did you know that the median age for which former Catholics stopped considering themselves Catholics is 21 years old?
Well, we've all heard some scary statistics about college Catholics. So how about some good news? Here are some positive numbers to share from the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, known as FOCUS. Young FOCUS missionaries are reaching out to students on 83 college campuses in 34 states through Bible studies, retreats, conferences, and one-on-one mentorship. One sign they're making an impact, FOCUS has fostered 355 religious vocations through their work since 1998.
Wow. And Curtis Martin founded FOCUS and continues to lead the dynamic organization, which is one of the fastest growing movements in the Catholic Church today. And Curtis speaks around the country, and he will be here in town for the 2014 Rediscover Catholic Celebration on October 4th at the Minneapolis Convention Center. And we are so lucky and so grateful to have Curtis here as our guest today on the Rediscover Hour. Thanks for joining us, Curtis.
Corey and Paul, great to be with you.
Tell us a little bit about FOCUS, first of all.
Sure. I mean, FOCUS is a young organization. What we do is take recent college graduates who themselves have encountered Jesus Christ and are living their Catholic faith with vibrancy, and we train them, equip them for evangelization, for discipleship, apologetics, a deep prayer life, and then we place them on teams to serve at Newman Centers and Catholic chaplaincies around the country. And as of this fall, we'll be at 100 campuses. We're really excited about the growth that God has granted us. And we're watching kind of a lights-on experience for these campuses. What we recognize is there's a Catholic church within walking distance of almost every university in America. But right now, in our culture, most young Catholics are not walking to the church. Mm-hmm. So we need to send missionaries out to reach college students where they are and bring them back.
Well, that's wonderful. And we're so blessed to have you as one of our speakers at the upcoming 2014 Rediscover Catholic Celebration on October 4th. And for you, or could you tell us, why do you think it's important for Catholics to come together in events like this?
I think it's really important. I know that within Focus, our gatherings have been really inspirational.
Uh-huh.
It is very, very easy in a culture today where our media really has a different view of the world, where much of the news and many of the experiences are that the culture is falling apart, that people are drifting or if not running away from God. And there's some truth to those realities. But there's a deeper truth, and that is there's a growing white-hot core of Catholics who love the Lord, who are allowing Him to transform them. And by gathering together, we're reminded that there's something amazing going on, that the seeds of the new evangelization are already planted, they're germinating, and we need to be able to see that so that we can be filled with hope.
Address for me, if you would, the fact that it seems like sometimes, at least it, by all appearances, you have a real uphill battle. I'm reminded of when my daughter started the university, and we went to a parents' day and saw displays from all kinds of different organizations, including some that were quite antithetical to the Catholic faith.
Oh, it's amazing. It really is. I was having a conversation yesterday at a university around the country and with some parents, and I think if most parents or grandparents realized what was going on the college campus today, they would be really anxious, if not terrified.
Scared, right.
There is a very concerted effort to influence our young people in a godless way, and we have to recognize that. It's going on in almost every university in America. Our opponents in the cultural battle recognize how pivotal this is. The great news is that on a relatively level playing field, light triumphs over darkness every time.
That's true.
So all we're trying to do is show up. Our experience is that the Catholic Church loses most battles on universities, but we lose by forfeit. When we actually show up, it's amazing how effective we are. I'll give you one example of a university down south where for 20 years they hadn't had a single man enter the seminary from this major university and the Newman Center there. And then we came in 4 years ago, and in the first year we were there, one man for the first time in 20 years went to the seminary. The second year, three men went to the seminary.
Wow.
The next year, five men went to the seminary. Nine guys in 3 years, and nobody in 20 years. And it's just like somebody went in and turned a light switch and said, oh, the light isn't broken. Nobody turned it on.
When
we show up, we win.
I like that. All you had to do was show up. Timothy Cardinal Dolan has said, if you're looking for hope, look to Focus. And the theme of this year's Rediscover Catholic Celebration is Horizon of Hope. How does Focus help to inspire hope?
We really believe that the work of inspiring hope is really a work of the Holy Spirit. And so what we're trying to do is be a conduit, if you will, of bringing people into an encounter with Jesus Christ. This is the key. It's the lights-on experience. So much of the hardwiring of what it means to be a Christian, that we believe there's a Trinity, that we believe that Jesus Christ is truly God and truly man, that He died for our sins and rose from the dead. These are all things that most Catholics do, in fact, believe. They just don't know why that makes a difference to their life. They haven't had that personal encounter with Christ where all of a sudden they realize, oh my goodness, He's supposed to be at the center of my life, to direct all of my thoughts and all of my values. And when Catholics have that experience, they begin to become who they are meant to be. And that's when something powerful begins to happen. And then you can really walk with them and begin to really work the work of formation. But until that encounter, that moment where we stood face to face with Jesus Christ and said, you've given your life for me, I give my life to you. When that exchange occurs, something spectacular begins, and that's where hope really starts to take off.
Well, tell me about the Focus approach. I mean, you're in 83 campuses all over the United States. What do you do to reach these college kids? What's your tactic or strategy?
Yes, it's a simple three-step process. It begins by, as I said, placing college students who are recent college grads who, in fact, have encountered Christ, and they're living a life of prayer. All of our Focus missionaries make a daily holy hour. They all know the Lord. And so we send them out on teams, and they just go out. And the first step is what we call win. They just go out and love college students and win their hearts.
Uh-huh.
And so we say, go out and do everything that college students love to do. That's moral. And do that with them and share life with them.
Yeah.
And in the midst of that, we become friends.
Okay.
And the first step is to invite them into friendship. When you're friends with somebody, you introduce your friends to your other friends. Well, as an intentional disciple of Jesus Christ, my closest friend is Jesus Christ. So I'm going to make that introduction. Some people will choose to have Christ become a central part of their lives, and others won't. That's up to God and them. Our job is just to share the good news, and the results are the work of the Holy Spirit. But many young people are responding very positively to an introduction to Jesus Christ, which moves us to the second level. If you've encountered Christ and you want to begin to follow him, people need to be built up. So we build people up in their knowledge and their practice of the faith. And that kind of answers two questions. What do I need to know so I can think with the mind of Christ? And what do I need to be formed in so I can behave with the character of Christ?
Uh-huh.
People begin to flourish, and then we send them out to win more people. And that win-build-send model creates a snowball of evangelization on college campuses. You quoted vocation numbers at the beginning of our segment, and I just would say, here's how powerful it is. We've now, just this fall, reached 500 young people who have entered religious life in seminaries. More than 100 of those in the last year alone.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. It really is.
No, God is good. And our testimony is Jesus is God and the Catholic Church works.
Simple as that.
It really is a simple formula, that's for sure. Now, you're on 83 college campuses, is that right?
It'll be 100 this fall. So
100 this fall?
As of May,
okay.
100 as of this August.
Three in Minnesota. Any plans to expand here?
We have great hopes to expand. There won't be any new expansion campuses there this year, but we are looking forward to it. We've got some great relationships. Minnesota's been a great place for us, and not far from the Twin Cities. North Dakota's also been... We've got a couple of great campuses that are not too far from the Twin Cities, just across the border there. So we've been really blessed with some great, great people. In fact, I have to say, not only that we do have great missionaries, but my eldest son, who is a missionary, just got engaged to a gal from the Twin Cities, and they're getting married on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So I have great love for the Twin Cities.
Now, let's see. In 2011, Pope Benedict named you as a consultant to the Pontifical Council of the New Evangelization. And tell us, what have you learned from coming together with other Catholic leaders about this important mission?
No, and I'm very grateful to the Holy Father for that appointment. It's opened up many doors, not the least of which was the invitation to join Pope Benedict a couple of years ago for the Synod on the New Evangelization.
Uh-huh.
One of a couple dozen lay people who were there with hundreds of bishops and cardinals and the Holy Father. We met with the Holy Father for 22 of 23 days, praying and reflecting on the new evangelization. And I really do, I'm excited to see the momentum within the church. This really is becoming a fundamental theme of the church. And it's long overdue. I'm grateful to the Holy Father, beginning with St. John Paul and continuing through Pope Francis, that this is a huge theme. And I go back to what we shared already. The church is really coming back and saying, at the core of why we're Catholic has to be this encounter with Christ. We ask people sometimes, why are you Catholic? And they might say, well, I was raised Catholic. And that's mm-hmm. not a bad reason to be Catholic. But the question is, would you be Catholic even if you hadn't been raised?
If it was a choice, yeah. If you had to pick between a bunch of different religions, why would you choose this one?
And at the heart of that is because I have encountered Jesus Christ. This is true. It is the fullness of truth. And that's a beautiful foundation stone to bring people back to, whether they've been lifelong Catholics or not. And that's creating a wonderful dynamism within the church that we're really excited. It's changing people's lives.
We're visiting with Curtis Martin, the president and founder of FOCUS, Fellowship of Catholic University Students. Curtis, I'll bet you have some stories to tell, some case histories of things that you've seen happen on college campuses.
You know, it's just been wonderful. I would say that we draw a line between what we call evangelization and what other people might call proselytizing.
Oh, yeah.
Evangelization is sharing good news and leaving the results to God. Proselytizing is trying to get people to do something. We're not here to try to get people to do something. We're trying to help them do what they want to do. We share good news. And so we led a Bible study a few years ago, and there were a couple of guys in the study. One was an evangelical. The other one was a recently returned Catholic who had kind of had a wild past, and they were roommates. They got involved in the Bible study, and the recently returned Catholic began to have a really profound conversion, and his evangelical friend kept coming every week. And they graduated, and at the end of graduation, the Catholic guy said, well, I'm going to go to seminary. And so he went to seminary, and the Protestant guy said, well, I'm going to go to seminary. And he went to a Protestant seminary. A year later, the Protestant guy said, I want to become Catholic. And they're both Catholic priests. And it's just a beautiful thing to watch them having impact. They're here in Denver, the Archdiocese of Denver. I know them well. They are transforming their parishes as young priests. They are really have the vision and the fire of what it means to be an evangelical Catholic.
Wonderful. Well, and you said there's 100 from just this past year. Is that what you said earlier?
Yeah, over 100 religious women and men going to the seminary. It's just been a great year. In gathering, if you will.
Now, tell us, we're excited to hear you speak at the 2014 Rediscover Catholic Celebration here in Minneapolis on October 4th. Can you give us a little bit of a preview, maybe, of what you're going to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, I'm so excited. What a great program. Scott is doing so many wonderful things in the Twin Cities, and it's just a blessing to play a small part in that, hopefully to be an encouragement. And what I wanted to, hoping to do in my time with you all is to be able to kind of open up and see the dynamism of how God wants to encounter us and how he's given the tools to us, and they're standing right around us. But sometimes we don't know how to access them. I would say they're almost veiled by familiarity. And to be able to look and see within our Mass, there are so many amazing moments, but we recite the prayers without really thinking about them. One example might be, I'll ask people, have you ever sat in Mass and then chosen to actually specifically pray for everybody else in the church that their sins would be forgiven? Because they asked you to whenever we pray the Confiteor. But we sometimes pray the Confiteor and ask everybody in the church to pray for us that our sins would be forgiven, and then we ourselves don't pray for everybody else.
Don't do the same. Yeah. Yeah.
What a powerful moment it would be. And we can say over and over again, in the Mass, there are these beautiful prayers that are there not only to speak to God, but to teach us how to live. And the same thing is true when we engage the sacred scriptures. And to be able to see the power of, if we were to live the very things God has given us, we will recognize that the antidote to this radically godless, lifeless culture we live in is actually alive and well within the church, waiting to come out of its shell, if you will. So that's what we're going to go after when we're together.
We've talked a lot about the religious vocations, religious and priestly vocations that have come out of focus. What about people who have gone on to either married life or single life?
You know, it's been beautiful. It's a little bit harder to track because there's so many of them. But what we do know within our missionary staff right now, over 200 of our missionary staff over the last 15 years have gotten married in the last 15 years. And of the 200 marriages, not one single divorce.
Ah,
God,
now
I just
that's
got
good news.
Goosebumps. That is amazing.
Yeah, it's just the Catholic blueprint
it's
for marriage.
It's a great foundation for marriage, yes.
It does. And, you know, it's not easy. Some of these couples are struggling. Marriage is in good times and in bad, and we need to pray for them and continue to work. But the idea that they believed that they were getting into a marriage that meant no adultery,
life.
No divorce,
yeah.
No contraception for life, they then have a kind of a zero grant to go back to when things are difficult.
Uh-huh.
A Lord who strengthens that union.
Curtis Martin of Focus, it's been good visiting with you. Look forward to seeing you at the 2014 Rediscover Catholic Celebration this October.
We'll see you in October.
You can see Curtis Martin and many other inspiring speakers at the 2014 Rediscover Catholic Celebration. It's coming up October 3rd and 4th at the Minneapolis Convention Center. Theme of this year's celebration is Horizon of Hope, and it's a wonderful opportunity for Catholics of all ages to come together to celebrate our faith.
And this year, the celebration happens Friday evening and Saturday all day on Friday, October 3rd, which focuses on young adults. Doors will open at 5:30 p.m., and the program begins at 6:30, and things wrap up about 11 p.m. Multi-talented folk musician Marie Miller will be performing on this young adult night, and speakers that evening include Father Mike Schmitz, Father Stan Fortuna, Father Dave Dwyer, and our guest on the show a few weeks ago, Leah Darrow, and others, and there will be food and beverages available for purchase. And again, this evening is geared towards young adults in their 20s and 30s, but open to all adults over 18 years old. The Friday night ticket is just $15.
Then on Saturday, the program starts at 8 a.m. and runs until 5 p.m. Speakers include Scott Hahn, Archbishop Paul Coakley of Oklahoma City, our guest today, Curtis Martin, Father Dave Dwyer, Leah Darrow, Kelly Walquist, Jeff Cabins, and more, plus music by Sonar. The day features breakout sessions for adults, Latinos, youth, and children, and inspiring and educational exhibits. This special day culminates in Mass. Saturday ticket, $20 for adults, $10 for youth grades 7 through 10, $7 for children in grades kindergarten through 6.
Now register now at rediscover-faith.org, and if you have any questions, call 651-291-4411. That's 651-291-4411. And please note, we've posted information about Focus and a link to the Focus webpage on our show page. That's rediscover-faith.org. Click on radio in the top navigation bar.
Now, if you were at the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration, you know it was an amazing and uplifting event. 5,000 people on fire for the Catholic faith converged on the St. Paul River Center last October for the all-day event featuring speakers, musicians, and exhibitors.
Yeah, and during that day, that special day, we pulled a few attendees aside and asked them, how does this celebration make you feel about being Catholic? And here's how they responded.
It makes me feel very proud about being Catholic. You know, we've been going through a very difficult time the last few weeks within our archdiocese, and this is something we need to get back to really the good news of why we are Catholic. You know, it's all about Jesus and having Jesus being the center of where we are in our life and keeping that in mind.
I love being a Catholic. I'm very proud of being Catholic. I always have been, even through tough times, because that's the way the world is. There are tough times to go through, but you just have to forge forward.
Proud. I'm happy to be Catholic. Every day I thank God I'm Catholic, because we have the treasury of everything. Everything that people need in this life to get to heaven, Catholic Church has it.
I feel good. I feel like we've got a bright future, and it's not something that's like in decline. You know, it's something that is still very relevant today.
It was a great time.
It was a great time last year. It was the first one, sold out so quickly, and Paul and I got a chance to sit together all day and just watch the energy.
It was fun visiting with people all day long and hearing up. Reactions like that.
Mm-hmm. Tons of smiles when we needed them a lot at that moment.
Yep.
So anyway, the 2014 Rediscover Catholic Celebration also promises to be uplifting and inspiring. And in fact, as you heard a little earlier, the theme for the event is Horizon of Hope. And you can register online now. Please do so that you can get your tickets before it sells out. Just go to rediscover-faith.org.
And coming up on the Rediscover Hour, we'll find out what did the Pope say this week.
Plus, we'll hear how some local Catholics plan on living out their faith and sharing it with others this summer.
And we'll run through a calendar of Catholic events happening around town when we come right back.
Rediscover.
Hi, I'm Paul Archambault from Stinson Electric. You're a facility manager or business owner with electrical or lighting needs, we can help. Have you heard the buzz lately about energy-efficient lighting? Do you wonder if it makes sense for your facility? You may not know who you should call or who you can trust. Energy-efficient lighting installations are usually eligible for utility rebates that defray part of your initial investment. Often these projects pay for themselves in as little as 1 year. You gain the added benefit of better quality lighting, less maintenance, and energy efficiency. We have designed and installed lighting upgrades for churches, schools, and commercial buildings for customers just like you who are often astonished with the results. We also install and service outdoor lighting on buildings and in parking lots to enhance safety and security. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sauter.
And I'm Corey Regan. So, what did the Pope say this week?
Well, he said something that I've been trying to tell people for a long time.
You're so ahead of the game.
It can't be just Jesus and me.
Uh-huh.
Our identity, the Pope says, is one of belonging. To say I am Christian means to say I belong to the church.
Right.
I belong to this people with whom God established an ancient alliance that is always faithful.
Yes, he said on Wednesday, we are not Christians as an individual, each one on his own. None of us become Christians on our own, but rather we owe our relationship to God, with God, to so many others who passed on the faith, who brought us for baptism, who taught us to pray and showed us the beauty of Christian life.
And our relationship with God is personal, but not private.
That's right. Well, speaking of that, summer is a time of reconnecting with friends and family and neighbors, and just think how many graduation parties, weddings, family reunions, and neighborhood gatherings you have on your calendar from now until state fair time, really.
Do you make a conscious effort to give a personal witness to the faith in your interactions with friends and family, even during the casual summer months? Well, how we live the faith and how we show the reason for our hope is the most powerful invitation to others to explore their own relationship with God.
And we caught up with some local Catholics who shared how they will give personal witness this summer and share the faith with family and friends. So let's take a listen.
Hi, my name is Jessica Niola Lazo, and I'm from Holy Rosary Santo Rosario Church. This summer, I will share my faith by service to others. I'm actually going to Ecuador during the summer, so it's going to be the first time me and my mom are going to be traveling. So I guess my service to my mom is going to be showing her around because she hasn't been there in 20 years.
Hi, my name is Michelle Flores Monterosas, and I go to Ascension. Over the summer, I'm going to with our catechist leader, and we're going to be training more and like the what else we can change and get more kids to come to our church and be closer to God.
I am Jasmine Taylor from Cristo Rey Jesuit High School. I'll try to attend more church events because I work and everything. But I think just getting more involved in church instead of just going on Sundays, just to become more involved.
We're Vincent and Leon Arsino from St. Paschal's Parish in St. Paul, Minnesota.
I think we will show other people the way we live, how we are so faithful in going to Mass daily. Mm-hmm. And just by our actions are going to speak to many people. And I pray that we can bring people back to the church.
Name is Sharon Mueller, and I'm from St. Henry's Parish in Monticello, Minnesota. I attend daily Mass, and I pray for my children daily, and I gather at my pool with them, and they all swim, and we talk a lot, visit a lot, and that's how we spread it.
Well, there are a lot of Catholic events going on around town this summer, and here's a look at a few things going on this weekend. First, the Parish Festival at Our Lady of Guadalupe in St. Paul takes place Saturday, June 28th from noon to 8 p.m. And the festival features live Latino music, Mexican and American food, and dancing, theme baskets, games, and more.
Then on Sunday, there's a Parish Festival at St. Mary's in Le Center, beginning with Polka Mass 10 a.m., followed by a family-style roast beef dinner until 1:30 p.m., outdoor activities in a food court. Also on Sunday morning, there is a talk about art and beauty in the Catholic Church, presented by Nick Markell at Our Lady of Lourdes in Minneapolis. That's from 9:45 to 10:45 a.m.
And later on Sunday, there's a concert featuring the National Catholic Youth Choir at St. Therese in Deep Haven. And that begins at 7 p.m. This special evening is sacred traditional music in English and Latin. Will follow the theme Called to Serve. A free will offering will be collected.
Remember to engage in the Fortnight for Freedom events happening in our area now through July 4th. As we let you know last week on the Rediscover Hour, there are also two archdiocesan opportunities for reflection on religious liberty. The first is a special Mass, Saturday, June 28th, 7 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul.
And the second event is a play performance and discussion on July 2nd, beginning at 7 p.m. at De La Salle High School in Minneapolis. The evening features a free performance of the play Lolek about St. John Paul II before he became Pope, and it's by local actor and playwright Jeremy Stanberry, who we had on the show last week. And the play is followed by a discussion of virtue in the face of religious intolerance by award-winning journalist Timothy Drake, and this event is free, but registration is required. For more information, search Freedom under events on archspm.org or call 651-291-4488. That's 651-291-4488.
And if you haven't seen Lolek in the past few years that Jeremy's been doing the play, I highly recommend it. It's just inspiring to witness him becoming the young John Paul II. Find out more, call 651-291-4488. Cathedral Young Adults Theology on Tap 6-week summer series runs Wednesdays through July 23rd at O'Gara's in St. Paul. Social time starts at 6:30 p.m. Speaker begins at 7:30. Topics focus on faith, contemporary issues that directly affect the lives of young adults, All evenings are free of charge, except for the food and beverage, of course.
And as we mentioned in the show earlier today, there are several local opportunities coming up during Natural Family Planning Awareness Week, which is July 20th through the 26th. First, join the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life in praying a novena for chastity and purity in the world. And the novena will begin on July 18th in preparation for NFP Awareness Week and will be completed on the Feast of Saints Joachim and Anne on July 26th.
And the Archdiocesan Office of Marriage, Family, and Life would like to honor couples who have chosen to use natural family planning and natural family planning educators with a special event, evening event on Thursday, July 24th. Evening begins at 6 p.m. with Mass at the Chapel of St. Mary at the St. Paul Seminary. That's followed by dinner and reflection at the nearby Binns Refectory. Cost is $20. For more information about the novena and the Mass, as well as registration for the dinner, go online, just search Natural Family Planning under events on archspm.org or call 651-291-4489. That's 651-291-4489. And for more information on any of the events we've mentioned today on the Rediscover Hour, visit the Rediscover Hour show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org and click on radio in the top navigation bar.
And let's see, coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, on the July 4th weekend, we'll have a super summer flashback featuring an encore presentation of a recent show. And we'll look ahead to the 2014 Rediscover Catholic Celebration with Jeff Cavins, Leah Darrow, and many more amazing speakers.
And we'll hear from Judy Cousins, mother of Bishop Cousins, about her commitment to life and how you can help parents facing an adverse diagnosis of their unborn child.
The Rediscover Hour, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., and Sundays at 9 a.m., right here on Relevant Radio.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.